This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's coming up on 6 minutes after six on this Wednesday morning, part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you this morning by Pros Drainage, by Farm Credit Illinois, and by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield.
Do you dream of an escape to the outdoors? After a year where home became so much more than a place to lay your head, buying your own rural property may have never sounded more enticing. Discover how a piece of land can bring peace to a hectic life. Like Lauren and Corey Sprung of Greene County, who financed their country home build through Rural First.
We financed our farm ground, and so we were familiar with farm credit already. So that's how we had heard about it, and then started going over, you know, all of the incentives that the program had, being a one-time close and, you know, locking in your interest rate. It was really an easy decision at that point. Until Rural First provided their financing, we always joked that we would have to raise our family and then build our forever home, whereas now we're raising our family in our forever home.
Get closer to what matters with Rural First Country Life Lending. Visit farmcreditil.com/escape and make the move.
NMLS ID 1844469. Equal housing lender. All loans subject to credit approval and eligibility.
Attention farmers, did you notice lower yields in those low, poorly drained areas of your field last year? Or is your existing tile system just not doing the job? Then you need a drainage pro. Call Pros Drainage today and they'll design a drainage plan and install drain tile that'll give you better soil aeration along with better root development, increasing your crop yields. Don't wait until it's time to plant. Schedule your tile installation now so you can get back into your field sooner come spring. Call Greg at Pros Drainage in Girard today.
Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield is your headquarters for Firestone Farm Tires and Service. Taylor Tire, your authorized Firestone Tire dealer, is the place to call for all your Firestone Farm Tire needs. And when you need in-the-field service, the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto are trained, experienced, and they have the right equipment to do the job and on time. So when you need Firestone Farm Tires or in-the-field service, call the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto at the west end of Tyler Avenue, Litchfield. It's coming up on 8 minutes after six now with part one of the Morning Ag Show. We joined WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. Your grain futures from yesterday, Tuesday, off the Chicago Board of Trade saw gains in corn, beans, and wheat across the board on your Tuesday. First off, July corn futures spent the afternoon session on Tuesday fading earlier gains following a Monday round of the same, but unlike Monday's trade, July futures held on to a fractional Tuesday gain. New crop futures extended the rally through Tuesday, though after sliding in the afternoon and ended only 6.25 to 7.25 cents higher. The old crop to the new crop spread continues to unwind, ending with July with a 70-cent premium to the December. Official census data showed corn exports were 8.5 million metric tons, or 334.6 million bushels through the month of April. That was the largest April export program on record and was the second largest corn shipment for any month behind the month of May, which was 9.47 million metric ton. Ethanol exports in April were reported at 112.68 million gallons. That was down from 132.98 million in March, but above the 99 million from April of last year. About 45 million gallons of ethanol went to China. Stocks estimates ahead of the June WASDE show analysts have, on average, anticipating old crop stocks to be cut by 54.5 million bushel from the May estimate, down to 1.202 billion bushel. New crop stocks are estimated to follow suit with a 90.3 million bushel cut to 1.417 million bushel. New crop stocks hit carries with it an anticipated increase in production. Of the analysis, 25 surveyed, 3 see reason enough for USDA to raise the 21-22 output, bringing the average of all estimates to 15 billion bushel. Moving on, after trading through midday with 30-plus cent gains, soybean futures faded to end the Tuesday session, 12.75 to 19.75 cents higher. Soybean meal futures also pulled back to the close at $2.50 to $2.90 higher. Soybean oil futures were also up by $1.13 to $1.25. Census export data showed that 1.385 million metric tons, the equivalent of 50.89 million bushels of soybeans, were shipped in April. That was a marketing year low and the lowest since April 2016. For official accumulated soybean shipments, They're still comfortably at a record of 2.12 billion bushel, 93% of the USDA May forecast. USDA will update their supply and demand estimates coming up tomorrow, Thursday. Soybean stocks estimates going into the June WASD report show the trade on average expects a 2.1 million bushel bump to 122.1 million bushels on reduced crush. That carries through trader expectations for new crop, as pre-report estimates show an anticipated 2.6 million bushel bump to 142.6 million. For new crop production, 23 of 25 respondents expect no change to be made in the May figures, but the average of all pre-report estimates is for a 6 million bushel larger crop on increased area. Global soybean stocks are expected to be cut by 400,000 metric tons to 86.2 million metric ton. Analyst expectations for new crop cancellations have those surveyed between a 2.1 and 3 million metric ton bump from May's 91.1 million metric ton forecast. And finally, at the closing bell for Tuesday's session, winter wheat futures were higher while spring wheat futures were lower. Chicago wheat futures were 3 to 5 cents higher. Kansas City futures were fractional to 2.5 cents higher. Spring wheat futures were 2 to 9 and 3 quarters cents lower in the new crop, but old crop closed with double-digit losses. Official census data shows 2.603 million metric tons, or 95.65 million bushels, of wheat were exported in April. That was the second highest monthly shipment of the marketing year, and was 10% higher than last year, 2020. Wheat exports through April reached 882.52 million bushel, and will need to have been 82.5 million bushels in May to meet the USDA's forecast, barring any changes made come tomorrow, Thursday. Those surveyed ahead of the WASD update anticipate USDA to raise winter wheat production. Hard and soft wheat are estimated at 26.4 and 4 million bushels higher on average to 757.3 and 335.6, respectively. White winter wheat production, grown mainly in the drought-stricken Pacific Northwest, is estimated to be reduced by 5 million bushels on average to 215.4. On net, traders believe winter wheat production will be increased 25.4 million bushels to 1.308 billion in the Thursday report. The implied spring wheat, Durham wheat production estimate is then for a 7.5 million bushel reduction, as traders only expect the USDA to raise all wheat output by 17.9 million bushel. So recapping your higher grain futures from yesterday, Tuesday, off the Chicago Board of Trade, July corn and the old crop gained 0.75 cents to 680. December new crop corn up 6 3/4, 609.5. July old crop soybeans 19 3/4 cents higher to 1580. November new crop beans up 17 at 1457. July wheat up 5 in Chicago, up 685. September wheat up 5 1/4 at 691 3/4. July oats up 5 3/4 at 408. September oats up 4, 395. July soybean meal up 290 at 389.80. And soybean oil for the July up $1.25 at 72.08. Now we'll move on and take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday, Tuesday's cash grain report.
This is Tuesday's Board of Grain Price Insurance per the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois cut grain prices were mixed on Tuesday afternoon as soybeans found strength in the weather forecast for the Midwest being drier and warmer in the last half of June. In northern West Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shelled corn bids mostly steady to down 4 cents, 677 to 702. Soybean bids were 18 to 23 cents higher at 1553 to 1586. In central Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shelled corn bids mostly steady to down 4 cents at 670 to 701. Soybean bids were mostly 18 to 20 cents higher at 1556 to 1617. In the southern part of the state, shelled corn bids were mostly a penny higher, 674 to 715, while soybean bids were up 18 to 20 cents at 1561 to 1608. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 5 to 17 cents higher, 1567 to 1602. Basis was down 3 to 15 at 1300 to 40 over the July. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were up a penny at 680 to 720, while basis steady at option to 40 over the July. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevated Coated Dip produced corn bids up 1 to 2 cents, 705 to 707, with basis mixed at 25 over to 27 over the July. Soybeans ended 20 cents higher at $15.81 to $16, but basis steady at 1 over to 20 over the July. New crop wheat prices were up 5 cents at $6.45 to $6.65. Basis was steady at 40 under to 20 under the July. East St. Louis barge holding commitment place, their producer corn bids a penny higher, $7.20 to $7.21. These elevators raised their soybean prices 20 to 21 cents. Quotations at $16.05 to $16.08. Soft wheat closed up 5 cents at $6.96 to $6.97. And wild milo ended the day mostly a penny higher, $7.34 to $7.35. Contract bids producers for October, November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at $5.75 to $6. Soybeans at $14.12 to $14.34. In the central part of the state, corn for October, November delivery at $5.78 to $6. Soybeans at $14.24 to $14.45. In the southern part of the state, corn for October, November delivery at $5.75 to $6.29. Soybeans at $14.17 to $14.74. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on now to your livestock numbers from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, Tuesday. Your fat cattle were higher, feeder cattle lower, and hogs were mixed to mostly lower on your Tuesday. First off, after trading red throughout most of Tuesday, the Tuesday session ended with a 5 to 50 cent gain in the fat cattle. CME reported no deliveries against the June fat cattle, reflecting on basis yesterday. USDA mentioned some early cash business in Nebraska Tuesday in the 119 to 121 live weight range, with sales in the beef from 189 to 193 for higher grading cattle. The weekly online FCE auction has 9,552 head listed for this morning's sale. Front month feeder cattle futures bounced back from triple-digit midday losses Tuesday, but were still 35 to 95 cents lower at the close. The CME feeder cattle index for June 7th was 95 cents lower to 140.12. June 7th was this past Monday. USDA quoted their wholesale box beef prices mixed in the Tuesday afternoon report, rather. Choice boxes were at $3.3861 firm with a penny bump, while select boxes were $2.99 lower to $3.0618 a hundredweight. USDA had Tuesday cattle slaughter estimated under federal inspection at 120,000 head. Week-to-date slaughter is 235,000 head after a 4,000 head revision from Monday. That's still up 96,000 from last week and from 227,000 from the same week last year. Lean hog futures were mixed on Tuesday but consolidated in the afternoon portion. Gains were limited to 80 cents for the June and spring delivery months, and losses were limited to 30 cents for the summer and fall contracts. USDA's national afternoon average base hog price for Tuesday was up $1.93 to $112.43. The June 4th lean hog index was $1.76 higher to $116.51. June 4th was last Friday. Pork cutout futures ended mostly red on Tuesday, save for a $1.27 gain in the June contracts. USDA national pork carcass cutout values were quoted at $134.94 in the afternoon update. That was a 21 cent higher increase, as a $5.77 increase to pork butts offset a $6.55 drop in picnic shoulders. And the USDA had the federally inspected hog slaughter Tuesday at 485,000 head. That set the current week kill at 963,000 head, outpacing last week's plant closures and last year's COVID issues. So recapping your livestock futures from yesterday, Tuesday, that were mixed at best across the board. Fat cattle for June were up a half a dollar at 116.72. August cattle, fat cattle up a nickel, 117.82. October fat cattle up 22 at 123.92. August feeders 95 cents lower, 149.25. September feeders 67 cents lower at 151.95. October feeders finished at 154.25, 40 cents lower. Finally, your June hogs were 80 cents higher to 120.70. July hogs closed at 121.80, down 30. August hogs at 22 cents lower, 118.67. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Tuesday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.93 higher in a range of $100.37 to $123, with the weighted average carcass price of $112.34. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices were steady, with moderate to good demand for heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at $38 to $42, 4 to 5 weighed at $40 to $44, 5 to 6 weighed at $43 to $47, and over 600 pounds at $45 to $50. On the Illinois direct hog trade, prices for barrels and gilts at the country buying points were $2 higher, with moderate to good demand for moderate to heavy offerings, ranging from $73 to $78. Packer receipts for barrels and gilts totaled $21,388. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a dressed basis traded at $189 to $193. Heifers on a live basis traded at $119 and on a dressed basis at $188 to $193. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 378 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $134.94, which was 21 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were $338.61, which was a penny higher. Select carcasses at $306.18, which was $2.99 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 120,000, compared to 94,000 last week and 115,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 485,000, compared to 390,000 last week and 444,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Katie Lemonager with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield, by Farm Credit Illinois, and by Pros Drainage. Radar shows scattered light showers around the mid-Illinois listening area on this Wednesday morning. This check of radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
Times have changed, and so has the way you can access your grain account information. M&M Service Company is proud to introduce our new safe and secure grain app. Get 24/7 account access from your smartphone, iPad, or tablet, which gives you the ability to track scale tickets, contract statuses, settlements, and open balances on any grain in DP, open storage, and in held. You are also able to view cash bids as well as a futures market. Plus, it's free for growers. Contact your local M&M Service grain staff to verify your contact phone number is on the accounts you wish to view before trying to log into the app.
Today, cloudy skies with scattered showers possible, highs in the mid-80s with north winds at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy with scattered showers possible tonight, lows in the upper 60s. For tomorrow, Thursday, partly cloudy with scattered showers possible, highs in the upper 80s. For Friday through Sunday, partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers on Saturday, low temperatures in the low 70s, highs in the upper 80s. We have cloudy skies at the Weather Center on this Wednesday morning. Once again, scattered light showers in the area and a temperature of 70 degrees. This check of radar weather brought to you this morning by the M&M Service Company. Time now for part two of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by the CNB Bank and Trust, helping to open doors since 1854, and by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value.
Farm Bureau members can save big with our new membership benefit platform. Whether you're traveling the country or staying local, Montgomery County Farm Bureau provides offers and discounts at home or on the go. Visit the following local retailers to take advantage: Nelson Audiology, Sloan Implement Company, Diamonds and Dogs, McKay Napa, Seavers Equipment Company, Indian Springs Golf Club, O'Reilly Auto Parts, Victory Lane Ford, and more. Join today and gain access to thousands of discounts.
Have you misplaced your debit card? Well, no worries. Just turn it off with the CNB Card Manager app and turn it back on when you find it. You can also quickly detect unauthorized activity on your debit card, see your account balance, find nearby ATMs, and submit travel notices. Download the app from the Apple Store or Google Play today. CNB Bank and Trust, helping to open doors since 1854. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thanks again, Randy. Now here in Top Ag News on your Wednesday morning, issues brought on by COVID-19 last year and by the cyber attacks recently have caused serious challenges in America's food system. Officials in Washington, D.C. are taking steps to help build a stronger and more resilient U.S. food system. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack says that the USDA will be investing more than $4 billion in the effort.
Supply chain issues have arisen over the course of the last couple of years in a number of sectors of our economy, transportation, energy, manufacturing, to name just three. President Biden is keenly aware of the impact, and he's leading an effort with the signing of the Executive Order 14017 to begin to address the variety of challenges we have relative to supply chain.
He says supply chain issues have caused several concerns about the food and agricultural systems in the United States.
A system where nearly 90% of farms fail to generate a majority of income for those who own and operate the farm. A system that is currently leading to significant productivity gains, but at the expense of an alarming rate of topsoil loss and soil health and water quality. A nutrition system that often provides food but can fail to provide adequate nourishment. And a system that has seen rapid consolidation and a lack of competition. And finally, a system that has lacked equity for socially disadvantaged producers and a fair shot for small and medium-sized producers.
Vilsack says that leads him to believe a transformational change is needed in the food and ag system. The investment funds will get used in four categories.
In the food production area, we hope to make this system more resilient by continuing to build on our efforts at attracting beginning farmers, by providing significant transition assistance as those who wish to transition to a more value-added proposition are able to do so without necessarily being economically penalized, and assistance as well for those who work on our farm fields and in our manufacturing and processing facilities.
The USDA is also looking to solidify the processing sector as well.
On the processing side, we hope to be able to provide resources to improve existing small and mid-sized processing facilities, be able to cope and manage with the current challenges that they face as a result of COVID. But we also want to take a look at creating a new opportunity for the federal government to partner with state and local governments to see whether or not there is an opportunity to expand with new processing facilities and capacity in order to make our system more resilient. In the food distribution and aggregation area, we look to be able to expand and increase the number of food hubs, particularly those that will operate in high poverty areas. We look to work with our food banks and those involved to develop cooperative agreements between food banks and producers so that we create additional market opportunities for small and mid-sized producers.
USDA also hopes to see an expansion of the availability of more nutritious food, as well as food banks around the country, particularly in underserved areas. Financial resources come from a combination of COVID relief resources, the American Rescue Plan, and some traditional USDA programming resources. Moving on to other ag news here on your Wednesday morning. Miss Teen Illinois Agriculture is quite the title, but one that a local young lady takes in stride. Ilan Bader of Litchfield has held that title as Miss Teen Illinois Agriculture over the past year, along with holding offices in the FFA and being a member of the Litchfield FFA chapter. I had a chance to speak with Ilan about her reign as Miss Teen Illinois Agriculture, as well as her time as a 4-H and FFA member.
First and foremost, how did you find out about the pageant, and how did you become Miss Teen Illinois for agriculture?
Yeah, so actually I was at another pageant because I was 2018 Junior Miss Montgomery County Fair Queen, and I saw that a girl had a green sash, and this was like a little bit, it stood out to me because usually most sashes are like black or have like red on them. So I went up and asked her about her title, and she said that she was with the Miss Agriculture pageant and that they actually had an opening for Teen Miss United States Agriculture for Illinois. And so I traveled to the Midwest pageant since, unfortunately, Illinois doesn't have enough girls for an actual pageant, and that's how I got my title. So far, I've done everything from traveling around my community and state, and even out of state, to advocate for agriculture. I like to use my platform to spotlight businesses like agribusinesses and places like Love Packages, Hearts United, local community organizations like that. And, yeah.
Absolutely. And I know later on this week you'll be quite busy up in Springfield for FFA. Not only are you Litchfield's chapter president, mm-hmm. you're Section 15 president, and you'll be getting a few awards up at Springfield come up later on this week.
Yeah, I go up to state convention and I get, I think, 4 or 5 awards. I am a top 10 chapter president in the entire state of Illinois. I get my state proficiency winner in ag education, which fits nicely with my title as Illinois Teen Miss United States Agriculture. I get my state degree and I get the state agri-science fair winner. Last year I was the state agri-science fair winner as well, and I actually made it to nationals where I won second in the nation for power structural and technical systems.
Kind of take us through what that project was about and a little bit more on that.
Yeah, so last year I did the effective bridge design on weight-bearing capacity. I made a K-truss bridge out of balsa wood, and I tested different truss designs like just an X truss, and the K truss was actually the best that I found. And I used weights to find what which truss held the most weight. And then this year I actually did the effect of mortar and brick on weight-bearing capacity. So I actually live in a Victorian home, and we needed to re-mortar some of our bricks. So I took out the old mortar, and I used 3 different types of mortars. One is technically a mortar. It's called Portland cement. And then I used historic lime mortar, which is actually the correct form to use on Victorian bricks. And then I just used a basic mortar that you can find at places like Lowe's and Home Depot and things like that.
Okay, so is that possibly something you're interested in, is architecture and things like that? Or are you looking more to stay in the agricultural field?
It's definitely a possibility. My brother is actually a civil engineer in Seattle, so he kind of works with those things, and he helped me through the process. But right now I'm looking into maybe agricultural politician spots or ag communications. I really enjoy agriculture, and I enjoy public speaking and advocating for agriculture, so I think those would probably fit my interests more.
Absolutely. And just while we're talking here, anything that you'd like to mention throughout what you've gone through? I know you've probably, in the last 4 years, they've probably flashed by pretty quick for you, but I'm sure you've learned a lot and done a lot in those last 4 years.
Oh, yeah. My SAE is actually agriculture and education, and I'm going to nationals for it. And I would just like anyone, if they want to contact me, you can find my contact information easily on Facebook or Google. You can contact me and get some free pollinator seed mixes. I am a pollinator ambassador with 4-H and Corteva Agriscience. And so what I do is I try to advocate for pollinators and teach the public why they're so important and why we need to save them. So if anyone would like some pollinator seeds, you know where to find me.
And again, that was Miss Teen Illinois Agriculture Elan Bader from Litchfield. In other local ag news, the annual Macoupin County Fair is ongoing this week in Carlinville. And yesterday, Tuesday, was the opening day of the annual fair. A new financial arm of the fair has been established in the last year called Friends of the Macoupin County Fair. Money raised through this organization by donations or through fundraising goes to support infrastructure projects on the Macoupin County Fairgrounds. The organization also hopes to fund other agricultural endeavors throughout Macoupin County as well. And yesterday, at day one of the Macoupin County Fair, the organization received a $5,000 donation from Corteva and Pioneer Seed. I was able to speak yesterday as well with president of the 501c3 organization, Brandon Oxley.
A pretty big deal when it comes to your first donation being $5,000 from a pretty big corporate sponsor, a national-wide sponsor.
What makes it really special is Pioneer Corteva is part of the agricultural community. This is going to go towards projects that directly relate to agriculture, especially for agriculture students and the kids that come out to the county fair and show. And it's great to have folks that still look to county fairs as a way to highlight agriculture in our communities. So this is a great opportunity and a really awesome first donation for the Friends of the Macoupin County Fair.
Absolutely, and we talked, Brandon, how that's going to go to an ag center, but also you've got other aspirations. You've like to do a little bit of upgrading and some upkeep here on the fairgrounds itself.
The 501(c) that we created, that is the Friends of the Macoupin County Fair, was specifically created for infrastructure projects and big projects, big think projects here on the fairgrounds. We directly help the county fair in that way, and so we're looking for those donations to be able to build up our county fairgrounds with different projects, but also be able to support the fair and its future.
And being one of the oldest county fairs here in the state, I'm sure you guys want to keep that going for as long as you can.
Not one of the oldest county fair in Illinois. And yes, we'd like to continue that tradition and continue that title.
And again, that was Brandon Oxley, president of the 501(c)(3) organization, newly organized Friends of the Macoupin County Fair. And remember to stay tuned to FM 106 all week long, as we'll be having live coverage of the annual Macoupin County Fair today through Friday, again live right here on FM 106. And just in time for the Macoupin County Fair, humid conditions are going to be impacting Illinois for the rest of the week.
I think it's going to stick around through the end of the week. We've got, again, as you mentioned, that more humid air moved north into the Midwest. We've got a fairly decent amount of moisture now over the region, with the lower levels of the atmosphere more humid. And we've got a upper-level system which kind of stalled near the southwestern Midwest. It's not a very strong system, but just enough energy to kick off scattered showers and thunderstorms, especially as the atmosphere heats up in the afternoon and early evening. And we saw that happen yesterday. Not everybody in Illinois had rain the past 24 hours, but there were some scattered thunderstorms. See a lot of rainfall amounts, a few tenths of an inch or less, but a few isolated amounts up around an inch. And I think that type of weather pattern will continue through the end of the week, where we see the coverage of showers and thunderstorms increasing during the afternoon hours, dying down at night. Temperatures a little bit above normal, but I don't think much higher than the 80s on most days here in Illinois with that higher humidity. That type of pattern probably continue through the end of the week. A little bit drier air coming in from the west and northwest lowers the humidity and dries things out for a few days coming up this weekend.
And that was Freeze Notice meteorologist Dan Hicks, who anticipates the temperature pattern to remain near to slightly above normal for the remainder of June. And another local ag news now here on your Wednesday morning. Local farmers and landowners who are seeking to enhance their knowledge on the in-season impacts of cover crop application should feel free to attend a discussion-based field event sponsored by the American Farmland Trust and Precision Conservation Management. This event will be held in two separate field locations in Macoupin County coming up on Thursday, tomorrow morning, from 9 until 11. Location of Field 1 will be 14791 State Route 16, just west of Gillespie. That field is on the north side of Highway 16. Field number 2 will be at 2120 Prairietown Road, just southeast of Bunker Hill. That field is on the west side of the road. There's no registration required for this field day coming up tomorrow, and you can stop by any time to any field between 9 and 11 a.m. on Thursday. Guest presenters are Nick Sider of the University of Illinois and Jason Bowler with M&M Service Company, and they'll walk you through the field to discuss economic implications of pest control, along with other best management practices that are geared up to help farmers transition into the use of cover crops. And again, you can find those locations of the field day coming up tomorrow, Thursday, on our website at WSMIRadio.com. Light breakfast items and other refreshments will be available for those who attend tomorrow, Thursday. In other local ag news, the Montgomery County USDA Farm Service Agency will be using the following policies to complete their 2021 acreage reporting. All producers who've completed their planting and wish to complete their acreage reporting, whether virtually or in person, needs to contact the office in Hillsboro at 532-3361 Extension 2 in advance, because they're only offering limited appointment times, same-day acreage reporting services should not be expected. After you contact the FSA office to request an appointment to complete your acreage report, they'll work with you on your preferred form of appointment. If you schedule an in-person appointment, they want you to bring your maps and plan to complete your entire acreage report from start to finish, including the signing of your FSA 578 form during your appointment. If you request a virtual appointment, they'll ask you to email or drop off your completed maps prior to your scheduled appointment, And at your appointment time and date, you should expect to receive your FSA 578 form for your review and signature through an email or through OneSpan for electronic signature. The Farm Service Agency is looking forward to helping producers in Montgomery County, either in person or virtually, over the next 6 weeks to complete your acreage reporting. Deadline to file your 2021 acreage reports is coming up in July on the 15th. And that'll wrap up Ag News here on a Wednesday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Wednesday morning, June 9th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.